Welcome to the HR Locker podcast, the show that brings you the latest news and insights from the best HR professionals. On today's show, we have Roseanne Edger from Edger HR Consulting. Roseanne is a HR professional with over 15 years' experience in HR and has a proven track record in delivering HR support, advice, management coaching, and strategy setting. With the latest release of the updated Work Safety Protocol document from the government, Christelle chats with Roseanne about the considerations employers should be thinking about if they are returning people to the office, what companies need to think about when preparing a flexible working policy, and the importance of involving your employees by getting feedback before making changes to your policies and handbooks. Christelle also asks Roseanne if the role of HR has changed over the last 18 months and how HR affects the bottom line through successful people strategies. This is a great podcast with lots of practical advice for businesses who are returning people to the workplace. We really hope you enjoy it.
We're going to be focusing on the phased reopening of the workplace, and Roseanne is going to go through some of the changes and anything that companies should actually be considering over the next few weeks and kind of imminently as well in regards to some of the work safety protocol or any flexible working, things like that. So Roseanne, we're delighted to have you with us today.
Thank you so much, Christelle.
Could you introduce yourself to the guys and let you know what your background is?
Absolutely. I am a HR consultant. I work for myself, and the company name is Edger HR Consulting. So I've been doing that for about 2 years. Prior to that, I worked in-house in a variety of roles for some multinational corporations in a variety of sectors, from facility services to financial and kind of tech organizations. And I suppose since I kind of started as a HR consultant, I'm supporting more SME organizations, you know, in a variety of their HR activities, you know, whether that be from recruitment to policy development, contractual changes, obviously legal updates. I've supported a number of companies kind of through kind of COVID lockdowns and what they've needed to do from a work safely protocol perspective over the course of the last 18, 20 months.
It's an array of issues. So, Monday marked the beginning of the phased reopening of the physical office. So that's really been a huge focus for companies over the last week. And we know that, I suppose, the world of work has changed somewhat and that some people have changed from actually having a full-time office to maybe having some kind of flexible working arrangements that may include working from home or you know, even just that flexible working arrangement in place. What do you think are the main areas that companies should be focusing on when returning to the workplace?
So I suppose the key thing is really to make sure that they are familiar with those work safely protocols that the government have been issuing. You know, they did, the government have been issuing a variety of them over the course of the pandemic, kind of starting, I think, in May 2020. And the most recent one was published on the 16th of September. So the key thing is to make sure that people and organisations are very familiar with everything that need to be doing that's contained within that. And it's a great step-by-step guide. It's broken down into a variety of sections. But really, I suppose, in summary, you know, businesses need to have a business response plan if they don't have one already. If they do, they need to be reviewing it and updating it in accordance to sort of where we are now. Organisations need to have their lead worker representative appointed, and I suppose really as part of that you need to consider, you know, having additional lead worker representatives in place where you have greater numbers of employees or where you have a number of work locations or a variety of shift patterns within your business. Obviously, organizations need to have their management response team in place. So those who are kind of in charge and they're kind of getting together to make decisions, communicate, take feedback, and make sure that whatever controls are being implemented within the business, that they, you know, that it's the right controls in the right way and communicated in the right way. But then all the other aspects like the pre-return to work or I kind of call it a pre-return to the office questionnaire because people have been working throughout. But it's a pre-return kind of questionnaire which kind of covers off a number of items regarding, I suppose, have you had any symptoms relating to COVID in the last 14 days? And there's a variety of other kind of set questions. So that needs to be issued to employees, and that should be returned to the employer at least 3 days before that, before the planned return. And then employers need to be sort of scheduling in induction training, you know, making sure that their employees are very familiar with the symptoms of COVID-19, of how they can manage that, and all of those kind of preventative measures that we've all become very familiar with, you know. But again, we need to make sure that everybody is familiar and that we're all reminded of those. So the hand washing, you know, how to put on and take off a mask, and you know, all the items around sort of physical distancing and things like that. But they, I suppose, would be sort of those kind of main things, you know, in terms of making sure that you've planned for those and that they are kind of up to date and ready for people coming back into the office.
And I suppose what you've said there, Roseanne, is it is the key thing is that, yes, people are aware in terms of we should be hand washing and social distancing and masks and things like that, but to not take it for granted that we've done the training in the workplace, that people are aware of what they should be doing, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we do have a, you know, through the protocol, we do have an obligation to make sure people have that induction when they're coming back. There is free training, you know, that is provided, you know, online training that, you know, there's links within the protocol, so employers can do that. But on top of what's within the free training, it is a really good idea to cover off those control measures that you as a business have implemented. And I can cover off, you know, kind of some of what they may be, you know, but in terms of that, it's very important that the employer is communicating who the COVID response management team is, you know, what the control measures are, and what you as a business, the specific things, you know, that you've risk assessed and are important to you and your employees in terms of sort of preventing the spread of COVID-19.
The work safety protocol has been updated with some minor changes to address the new symptoms associated with the Delta variant. I think it's the key document that employers should be making themselves aware of, especially during the reopening of the workplace. So that work safety protocol is just so important. What are the key changes to the work safety protocol?
The key change for me looking through it is that there's this guidance document that has been issued by LEF, which is the advisory committee. So effectively it addresses, you know, under what circumstances and how people are coming back through this phased easing of restrictions. So this 20th of September mark, and then for us to be planning towards, you know, the lifting of restrictions or the lift of the requirement for people to be working from home from the 22nd of October. So that guidance has been inserted into the protocol. We can have people back in the office, but the reason is there has to be a reason. So it's, you know, that might be to provide training, it might be to have people who were hired during these restrictions that have never worked in an office together. It might be to start reintroducing people back into the office, back into teams, but in very controlled and measured ways. So it's very much around, you know, the language that's used is that people are coming back to the office for business requirements, but that this needs to be on a phased and staggered basis. So it's very much, yes, bring people back, but think about it, do it thoughtfully, slowly and cautiously, you know. So thinking about things like, you know, should I be requiring everybody to be in at 9 o'clock like I used to do? It's really about kind of just doing so cautiously, thinking about the attendance, I suppose, maybe doing it slowly but surely, thinking about, can I have reduced numbers in, and then maybe look at increasing those numbers, you know, week on week and so on. But again, you know, I suppose this is going to feed into how are you bringing people back, and, you know, are you doing so on a flexible basis? Have you already made those decisions, you know, in terms of how, whether you're going to offer flexible working, hybrid working, and, you know, and as part of that, you know, that remote working, or are you not doing so, and you're requiring everybody back in.
And I think that the key thing that I'm getting, Roseanne, is that that work safety protocol right now is the guidance for employers when bringing people back to the workplace, right? So that in terms of updates or what companies should be doing, that's the bedrock at the moment. So Roseanne, one of the things that we've seen is with the advent of remote working during the pandemic, it's led to a lot of people, I suppose, reevaluating how they work and when they work. And with that, we've seen the rise of remote working. But we've also seen a huge rise in flexible working as well. So people aren't working that nine to half five. And maybe, you know, we're looking at now remote working, and we're looking at hybrid working, we're looking at flexible working. So there's a lot for companies to consider. But with this next stage of restrictions lifting, and employers, I suppose I think a lot of employers will see a rise in flexible working requests. What should companies consider when implementing a flexible working policy?
When you're thinking about a policy, I think it's about thinking about who does it apply to? Does it apply to everybody within your organization, or is it role specific? You know, does it apply to everybody from day one of employment? Do they need to maybe have passed probation? Or, you know, are there other sort of levers that will sort of, you know, input into who it applies to, a contractual change or not? You know, so whether it's going to be maybe, are you requiring people to work from home part of their working hours, and therefore thinking, well, is that a contractual change that I need to make? Or is this flexible working, hybrid, remote model, is it something that people can decide, but not necessarily decide, but apply for? And then that application is considered and agreed to. So again, I think it's around the requirement versus the, you know, are people going to make that request that's then considered? So that would be one of the key things. The other thing is that, you know, again, is there going to be a review period as part of the agreement? And what happens after the review? Will it then become a contractual change? Because obviously then, you know, contracts need to be adapted. Or is it going to be an extension whereby you will do an ongoing review every 6, 9, 12 months to make sure it's still feasible and workable for the organisation?
Yeah, and I think that's the key, is that, yes, there's going to be several different, I suppose, interpretations of flexible working within your own workforce. But as a company, you need to decide where you stand on that and what you're prepared to offer, I suppose. And, yeah, you know, yes, we've spoken about this a few times, is that, yes, people have the right to request to work from home, but they only have the right to request it. A company needs to have a look and see, how does that suit them from a business perspective? And that's, you know, you still have to be able to be in business, right?
absolutely, you know, and it really is. But it's a lot of this is through communication, you know. And I know obviously the government are, you know, so pro, you know, they have their remote working strategy. Yeah. You know, we're working towards that. We're expecting this new code on the right to request remote working at some point, I suppose, in the next couple of months, weeks maybe. But you know, that is going to sort of come in as a new code of practice. So again, it will, I suppose, put a little bit more kind of rigor around that. But it is, it's like, as you say, it's the right to request it, and businesses need to think about, you know, how am I going to implement that? You know, I suppose the other thing, you know, that businesses may need to be aware of, that this is the potential, we're expecting this, you know, the right to request remote working. But again, you know, by August 2022, there's an EU directive that stipulates that, you know, we should be introducing flexible working, the right to request flexible working for carers, yes, and family members. So again, you know, there may be sort of further movement in relation to this more broader term of flexible working, maybe in line with the UK model. It's a really interesting space, but absolutely businesses need to just kind of, you know, think about what works for their employees. You know, we're all talking about this mass exodus, you know, the great resignation. Yeah. You know, we want to retain people. It is a difficult market. And so do solicit feedback. You know, I've worked with people who've kind of done some pulse surveys around this, you know, but again, it's kind of getting the input and then working together. to me, the key is discussing, communicating, and then implementing a policy, you know, with some of those kind of key considerations that I had touched on.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, is that not every company is going to be the same, not every worker is going to be the same. And, you know, we've had Google announce that, you know, they're going to be expecting people back to the office. But when you actually look at their demographic of worker, their younger workers, they want to come back to the office, mm-hmm. you know, so it's, they have consulted with their employees. A lot of them actually want to come back.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Whereas when you've got another workforce with maybe, you know, who are parents or whatever it is, they have different ones. They want the flexible working. So it is, I think at this stage, the key for me, Roseanne, is that companies can't just put their head in the sand about it. It's, you're talking about the mass exodus. It's something that employees are looking for, but companies just need to decide what their policy is, right?
Absolutely. What is going to happen in the next couple of months isn't what we've been accustomed to in the last 18 months either. You know, it is everybody working at home independently, you know, to some extent, you know, but now it's going to be, we can have quarterly get togethers, you know, and get those team dynamics and brainstorming sessions going.
Yeah. And I think that's the key is, yes, we've had this crazy 18 months. Now we're at step two. Embrace it, figure out what you as a company are going to do going forward. But you can't go back. You can't go back, right? which is the key. Roseanne, we spoke about how the world of work has changed. So ultimately there's no going back to the last, you know, prior to the last 18 months. So do you think the actual role of HR has changed in a company? Or I suppose, do you think that there are certain areas that are going to develop in the future, or that that ultimately has the function of HR pivoted somewhat?
I would say that there's probably an element of both to some extent. So I would definitely say, look, the role of a HR professional, it's so varied, you know, and I know obviously some organizations will have kind of specialists. But in terms of sort of a generalist role, you know, it's right from the beginning through to sort of, I suppose, that entire employee life cycle. So I would say that there's a lot of focus on different areas. You know, I suppose businesses, you know, will and HR professionals will need to be thinking about, you know, trying to put in place mechanisms for avoiding that mass exodus, obviously, whereby, and you know, as part of that, obviously, you know, you're looking at your engagement, your employee engagement levels. You know, there's huge amounts of people who have never met each other, and you really need to sort of, I suppose, focus in on that team building piece and enhancing and working on those engagement levels within an organization so that you can retain your key employees. I suppose where people do resign, obviously then it's about, you know, branding the employer, you know, in terms of sort of making sure that you're attracting people, the right people, obviously assisting kind of your senior management team and making decisions around, are we hiring in, you know, are we diversifying our recruitment strategies, and, you know, where our people are going to be based in line with what we had touched on earlier. But then a lot is going to, you know, a lot of the focus over the next couple of months really is going to be about getting people back and getting them back safely, doing so cautiously, kind of small baby steps, you know, I think, you know, in terms of sort of bedding, you know, those things back in. But there will be a lot of kind of thought-provoking conversations, and, you know, so much is going to be around further enhancing what we probably have been doing as professionals in the last 18 months, whereby, you know, managers have needed to have been coached. You know, we need to think about the productivity differently, which we had touched on earlier. It's not input driven, it's output driven, you know, and really thinking about things differently and working with managers, because it's a difficult one to accommodate, you know, and I suppose kind of get your head around, you know, and it we haven't necessarily done it like that previously. So I think that, you know, kind of, I suppose, focusing in on coaching our management teams is going to be a big one as well.
Yeah, and I would definitely agree. I think that, yes, we have this focus right now on the health and safety side of it and making sure we have this return to work. But on the other side is, which you touched on, there's this mass exodus, or the great resignation, you know, whatever coin of phrase people are using at the moment. So, you know, we also have to be concentrating on the employer branding side of things, because that is, we're living in a world where people have had a bad experience and it goes on Twitter or Glassdoor or whatever it is. So that's important from a HR perspective. So it's, I do feel that the next, this period that we're in, it is a chance for HR people, professionals, to really kind of embrace that we're not just admin people. We actually have a business function and can affect the bottom line, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and it is, yeah, I'm not sure about the phrase, but it is the people strategy, you know, and it's really working with your business, you know, to make sure it's all aligned and you're getting the right people in the right place at the right time with the right skills and working on your business priorities. So, you know, that is what it's all about, you know, and yes, there's an admin aspect to that, but there's much more.
Yeah, and like you said there, it is that you're aligned with what the strategy is. If you need to be hiring developers, for example, in 4 months time, you need to know the strategy now, because you're going to be working 4 months to get those people.
Yes.
I can hear a lot of HR people saying, you know, that happens to me every day. People are like, I need five people next week. That's not really how it works. Exactly. So it was lovely speaking to you, Rosanne. What is the best way for our listeners to get in contact with you?
Probably via LinkedIn, but obviously, so my profile is there, Rosanne Edger, via LinkedIn. So please do connect. And if anybody has any questions that have come out of today, you know, any thoughts out of today, you know, I'd obviously welcome people to message me. But also I can be reached at my, you know, my email would be rosanne@edgerhr.ie.
That's super, and we'll have all your contact details there as well. So it was lovely to speak to you, and we hope to catch up soon.
And to you. Thank you so much, Christelle. It's been great.
Thanks for listening. Check us out at hrlocker.com. The show was hosted by Christelle Wrynn and produced by Jenny Martin. Subscribe to catch the latest episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. If you'd like to feature, get in touch by emailing us at marketing@hrlocker.com. You can also follow HR Locker on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn.